to Sight.
Spend the day with Sight.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m.
on Radio Sight Thursday Live.
Radio Sight Thursday Live.
Sairam, dear listeners, till now you have heard the afternoon satsang, and to take you to the next program of this Thursday Live, the Veda Jignasa is here, Ganesh, and along with me is Brother Bhargav. Sairam Bhargav.
Sairam Ganesh.
So at the outset, we would like to collectively offer our humble prayers at Bhagwan's divine lotus feet, and with a prayer that every thought, word and deed is His inspiration. With this few prayers, we shall commence today's class with the Ganapati Prarthana Mantram.
Om Gananantva Ganapati Gum Havamahe Kavim Kavinamupamashravastamam Jeshtharajam Brahmanam Brahmanaspata Anashrunvan Notibhissidasadhanam Prano Devi Saraswati Vajebhir Vajinivati Dhinama Vitriyavatu Ganeshaya Namaha Saraswatyai Namaha Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.
At the outset, we would like to greet everybody world over, all the listeners, Merry, Merry, Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
On this Christmas Eve.
Eve. And so, to continue with our quest for finding out what exactly is the true wealth, So we shall continue the journey with the next few lines of the Sri Suktam.
Kam so smitam hiranya prakara mardram javalantim truptam tarpayantim padme sthitam padmavarnam tamiho pahvaye shriyam.
So in the last class we were hinting to the listeners that we would come across the most important aspects of Mother Lakshmi in this particular line. The qualities of Divine Mother are very, very clearly seen in the first two lines.
And all these things, if you just imagine, the same thing gets so sweetly reflected in what Swami is.
Exactly.
You can see all these facets in Swami. So it's a joy to actually dwell on all these things, and we are really excited to have it now in this in this episode. So, Kam So Smitam Hiranya Prakara Mardram. So, Kam, actually one meaning is who is that, who has all these things. And one more, Ganesh, one more place we found that actually Kam means the one who is ultimate, the Parabrahman, Parabrahman Swarupa, the means the manifestation, the supreme manifestation of that ultimate principle which governs the whole universe. So that is one thing which is Kam. So Smitam is again very sweet, you know. When you even imagine about that smile of Swami, the smile of Mother. So, Smita is nothing but a smile. You know, there are so many bhajans on Swami where you have this Manda Smita Mukha and then Mita Smita Sundara Mukha Ravinda. All that, you know, so many. And then, you know, that one beautiful experience of Ghantasala Garu.
Yantahai, yantahai inadu, mandahasa vadanamuto palukarinchinadu. Means he has come to talk to you with a beautiful, enchanting smile on his countenance.
Yeah. So, means I think Swami means it's like Swami and his sweet smile are like inseparable, I think.
Yes.
You cannot miss them. And probably before going into the smile, about the Parabrahman Swarupam, which we call, and then you say that Swami nothing but crystallization of the whole universal principle in that small, cute, sweet form of 5 feet 3 inches. And actually how it is very special, and how just by seeing that form, how people get different type of transformations. You know, it is so enchanting to even, and so wonderful to even think and dwell on that. So I think there's one experience like that, no, Ganesh?
Actually, we can listen to one of the students' experiences where having a mindset of not coming back to the place with the single darshan from the close proximity of Swami, how it has transformed his heart.
How?
That exactly is the experience that this brother is going to narrate to us.
Incidentally, Vivek Naidu.
He is
my classmate. I know him well.
I think the entire expression of Kam Sospitam Hiranya Prakaram Ardram Jvalantim Triptam Tarpayantim Padme Sthitam Padmavarnam Tami Hopahvaye Shriyam means here also you are praying to Goddess Lakshmi to come closer to you.
Yes.
Upahvaye.
Yeah.
So, this beautiful experience, I think when you close your eyes, chant this mantra and listen to this experience,
yeah,
it's a beautiful correlation of Mother Sai.
You relate to what is mentioned here and what this brother speaks. It's so sweet to know that it's a beautiful correlation in these two experiences.
So, we'll just listen to Brother Vivek Naidu's experience.
But when I did join the institute on my first day of joining, I was warned before, other than my grandmother who lived in Puttaparthi, nobody believed that I would actually survive Swami's college because everybody knew the environment was very restrictive. The only thing that they didn't know that it is restrictive for a good reason. So the first day that I came and joined for the summer course, I walked into the hostel, and when you come from an Ivy League school, your expectation is you'll have your exclusive room and you'll have comfortable beds and you probably have a music system and everything. I walked in and I think we continued to have the dormitory system. We were expected to sleep on the floor. I had no bedding with me when I came in. It was lunchtime, so I had to go for lunch. So I walked in, and my entire life, I'm used to food being served on the table. But in our system, you've got to have your own cutlery and you've got to line up and you've got to take food. You have to sit on the floor and eat. And for me, that's just unacceptable back then. Somebody was very kind enough. They realized that, you know, here's fish out of the water. So they gave me their own, they had just finished food. So they gave me their cutlery and I had food. I had struggled the first meal. By then, my parents had left me and they had gone back. We were to get ready for spending the evening. And I had no bedding, and I was expected to sleep on the floor.
Hmm.
I don't remember how, but I think I got through that. The next day, we had to get ready for darshan, and I was expected to shave off my mustache, which I think is, you got to keep it if you're a young man in the outer world.
So everything was kind of a small shock.
Yeah, everything was a shock, and it was a big deal back then. You know, I was like, "What? Why do I have to do this?
Yeah.
Do I have to do this?
So
why do I have to?"
Revolting to everything.
Revolting. It went farther than that. I decided to pack my bags and leave.
Oh my God!
I said, "This place is not for me."
This was like after one day or after a few days.
After one day, because it was too much. Because I didn't believe it's going to change, right? So it's not like you're going to need to stay for a couple of days and they're going to allow you to do the stuff that you want to do. So if this is not going to change, I'm going to quit. I called my friend. He actually chose not to come to Swami's Institute because he knew this is the way life is going to be. And strange piece of advice I got from him. He said, "You've just gone there. Just try it out for a week. Try it out for a month. And if you still can't do it, you can come back. But quitting in one day is, you have nothing to lose by staying for one week, right?
You're making the decision in haste."
Yeah. Then it so happened that we had our sessions in the morning. For some odd reason, there was an inaugural session. I saw Swami from a distance and everything. But that evening, we were invited to sit on the lawns inside Thrai Vrindavan. Thrai is an incredibly beautiful place. It's got a beautiful building, beautiful ornate dark door. We were sitting on both the sides where the lawns were there. I was at a considerable distance. Magically, the doors opened and Swami was standing behind it. And I've never seen anything like that in my life till today. And that day, when Swami came, stepped out, I lost all the reasoning that I had in my head. Nobody had appealed to my heart as much as Swami, who just stood at a distance in that day.
Just the darshan.
Just the darshan. It's just his aura standing there, not a crease on his robe, perfect posture. Typically, the way he stands both his hands joined in front of him. And the atmosphere is extremely peaceful. There was pin drop silence. There was a garden behind us where they had ducks and deers. Even they didn't make any noise. And Swami just stood there it was an afternoon, I think it was a Sunday afternoon. I had never seen anything like that in my life before. And something changed in me that day. That day, that one darshan that I saw Swami. And I said, I'm not leaving this place. It's a calling of the heart. Swami connected with me on that day, and I haven't lost the connection since. Yes. I don't feel the need to write letters to him. I would prefer to sit in front of him and talk my heart out, but given how busy he is, I don't feel the need to come and physically communicate with him. The connection that he made to my heart on this day, it's been 15 years now. That connection hasn't gone. Every day I wake up in the morning, the same connection is still there. So that day completely changed my life.
I think, Bhargav, without even our knowledge, we are experiencing and we are learning the essence of Vedas in the immediate proximity of Swami.
Swami, yes. You know, not only that, every facet, you know, when you just go ahead also in this line, there are so many facets of Swami which just so easily manifest in front of you when you just think about him. So probably after Kam, if you go to the next one, that is So Smitam.
Actually, before you go to the next word, Bhargav, that is So Smitam, Kam, when it refers to Parabrahman, it's beautifully told about Swami that while among children, I am a child. When among men, I am a man. Amongst women, I am a woman. When I am alone, I am God. So that explains the divine nature of Swami. And when you take not only the human beings, even the animals and the entire creation responds to God's arrival.
Yeah.
It responds so lovingly to God's presence.
Yeah.
So I have two beautiful incidents to share. I think most of the listeners might be knowing the first incident, where once in Vrindavan, a group of monkeys were loitering around the Trai area. And then Swami comes out of his residence in that beautiful lotus residence of Trai. He comes out with a handful of peanuts. And then Swami stands there with his palms open with the peanuts in his hand. And then he indicates to the monkeys. And each monkey comes one by one in a very, very disciplined manner. Picks up one peanut each, and then it goes back to its place. I think it happens, or it can happen only with God, because when they find that unity between them and God, the spontaneity of that love expresses itself like that.
Yeah, even when you say this, I am reminded of that beautiful shloka in Bhagavad Gita, Advaishta Sarva Bhutana Maitre Karna Yevacha. So means when you see the same principle in everything around you, so automatically that feeling of oneness, feeling of friendship, feeling of karuna, compassion, all that comes automatically. Anyway, so when you told about this monkey incident, it's like Swami was actually personification of that Parabrahman, which is nothing but something which dwells in everything. Even the monkeys responded to that love and that compassion of Swami.
Yeah. There was one beautiful incident shared by one of the Anantapur lecturers. In, I think, around 60th birthday time, all the students and staff were sent to Amagondapalam for doing social service, where Swami had given the opportunity of the students to renovate old temples.
Temple, yeah.
And also lay down good roads.
Yes.
So, this teacher, being a botany lecturer, the first time when she was going en route to the Amagondapalam, she saw the entire area, being a botanist, that mindset of seeing everything around you, it naturally comes.
Yeah.
So she was trying to see what plants are there around, what flowers are there. She wanted to just collect something. And then after a couple of days, Swami wanted to visit the place where the students were doing the service, and he wanted to see the progress and also inaugurate the temple, Rama temple, which was there. And then the entire place was like decked up, and Swami was coming. These students and staff were fortunate enough to accompany Swami. So as they were going, as Swami was going and these people were following Swami, she observed the same plants with full bloom on either sides of the road.
Wow.
And she was like stunned. Being a botanist, it is so natural for the plants and the flowers and the trees to respond to God's arrival.
Okay.
She explained it in such a way that they were smiling at God's arrival.
Okay.
That this seemed so like
thrilling,
so enthralling for all of us. Because the just imagine the thought process of that lecturer who was herself a botanist, and seeing the reaction of each and every speck of the creation to God, God's arrival.
So beautiful, yeah. So if you go to the next one, that is So Smitam. So the one which who has got a beautiful and enigmatic and mysterious smile. No, this is like, it's not a laugh. It's not a laughter like with boisterous laugh or something. It is not just a smile. It is a very special smile. You know, that smile which can light up everything. Like all your despondency, all your dejection, all your problems, everything will be just washed away in just one smile. You remember, just imagine, I was just trying to recollect our old days, like, you know, when Swami used to come for the darshan and then there used to be that nice sun rays falling on his hair, and then he just walks, used to walk with his robe, catching, like robe, one hand he will catch the robe, and slowly when he comes, and then once when he comes towards you and just gives a smile. It means, remember, we used to forget everything else after that. And then the second thing was, remember when he used to come for the bhajans, he'll come climb those three steps and then sit on the throne, and then we will all be just craning for only one smile and one look from Swami. He just smiles, you see, my day is done today, because not only day, it's like one smile used to last for a lifetime, if you they say. So sweet it was. So anything on the smile, if you recollect something.
Actually, first and foremost thing, I am reminded of a poem that Swami tells. I think it's better that we hear directly from Swami that beautiful poem.
Karpurambu telugu Karpurambu telugu కామదేవు తెలుగు చుక్క తెలుగు హంస రేఖ తెలుగు కర్పూరము తెలుగు కామదేవు తెలుగు చుక్క తెలుగు హంస రేఖ తెలుగు అందమైన సాయి భదహారము తెలుగు సాయి మందహాసము తెలుగు Shanti Prema Dai Sati Sai
So this poem describes that
Kappurambu Telipu.
Kappurambu Telipu is camphor, is white in color.
Kamadhenu Telipu.
The wish fulfilling cow is also white in color.
Chukka Telipu.
The star is also white in color.
Hansarakka telupu.
The wings of a swan are also white in color.
Andamaina sai mandahasamu telupu. So sweet.
The enchanting smile of the beautiful sai is also white.
Right. So, you know, Swami himself has described so sweetly about his own, like his own smile. And needless to say, that smile is always very special. So, you know, that I think we are tempted to share that experience of this boy who had this pigeon experience in sports meet.
This is a very interesting experience, because this boy had this wish of offering Swami a pigeon during the sports meet time. So Swami usually releases that sports meet pigeon. And then he got an opportunity. And the previous night, on 10th night, he was given the pigeon to practice how to take it to Swami. And then pigeon being a very, very tender bird, as soon as he took it in his hands, he was very, very scared, because that was the first time ever he was holding such a being. And then he was worried whether it would fly off from his hand, because it should be given properly to Swami. So with that intention of handing it over to Swami, during the practice session itself, he started tightening his grip on the pigeon. So he also felt that the pigeon was struggling in his hands, but he had no other option, otherwise it would fly off. And then the next day comes, the grand finale comes, and then the time to offer Swami this pigeon had come. He started walking towards the dais, and then the pigeon in his hands was trying to get freed. And the tension in his heart grew as he was going closer to Swami. And with that tension, and with a feeling that the bird would fly off from his hands, he started tightening the grip of his hand on the pigeon, around the pigeon. And then he could also feel that the pigeon was struggling. But he had no other option. And then, to his utter amazement, Swami, leaving all the rest of the things aside, he started gazing continuously at the hands of this boy and at the pigeon, because he knew exactly what was happening with that innocent being, because it could not express itself. Only the Lord knew what was going on with her. And then he comes to Swami, he kneels down, and he was supposed to hand over the pigeon to Swami. But seeing that beautiful smile on Swami, he is totally lost for words. And then he didn't know what to tell Swami, and he didn't know whether to give Swami or not. He was totally in a daze.
He forgot everything.
And then with that look of Swami, he started tightening his grip more around the pigeon. And then Swami was trying to stretch his hand for the pigeon, and this boy was not able to understand what Swami was telling. And then this happened for almost 1 to 1.5 minutes, which is very, very precious there on the stage. And then suddenly it struck to him that, yes, Swami is asking me for that pigeon. And then with that tight grip in his hand, he was trying to take it closer to Swami. And then Swami stretched out his hand. Then he knew that, yes, I have to release this now. And all this happened so suddenly that this pigeon went so close to Swami that he released his grip. And then with that relief, the pigeon flapped its wings, opened up its wings. It went so close to Swami that the air beneath its wings hit Swami's face. And then with that, Swami's hair, he had a beautiful hair.
Hello.
In 2005-2007, it was like thick hair. And then the wind blew Swami's hair back. With that sight, and Swami had a bewitching smile on his countenance, this boy was totally lost. He didn't know what to ask Swami. He didn't know whether the pigeon flew or not.
Nothing he knew.
But he was just, he just sat there gazing at Swami. Then Swami patted him, told him to take Padnamaskar, and then the boy left. This was such a memorable experience for that boy, and also a revealing experience for us, because we are always lost when we see the beautiful smile of Swami.
So sweet, no? The smile of Swami is so sweet. So this, you know, if you just go to Lalita Sahasranamam also, there is a beautiful verse which says, Mandasmita Prabhapura Majjat Kamesha Manasa. So means, with her smile, she can even create that joy and ananda in the heart of Shiva also.
Parameshwara.
So that is the beauty of her smile. And then Again, one more thing which is very, very important, which we found is that our smile, like if we smile, we always smile or laugh or anything with some purpose. Probably something will be there because of something we laugh. But her smile is beyond. Her smile is otherworldly, you know. It's always the smile of bliss, the smile of joy and ananda. So that's why I think that smile has this electrifying magic, in like the way you told about the boy.
Hmm.
So that is one thing. And then the next one, if you just leave Hiranyaprakaram and go to Ardram, you know, Ardram is like, again, you have multitude of experiences to just share, you know, in Swami. Ardram is nothing but, wetness or compassion or tears of joy or whatever you call it. And then incidentally, if you just see Ganesh, that Swami was born in Ardra Nakshatra.
Hmm.
Ardra Nakshatra, nothing but Ardra Nakshatra symbolism is a teardrop. And not only teardrop, the morning
dew.
The morning dew. The beautiful, dew is so beautiful. So, these are all symbolisms which actually go with the Ardra Nakshatra. And then, if you just take Swami's example also, it's like, whenever Swami used to see, when we used to see Swami's eyes, there'll always be some compassion, which we always feel with compassion.
Hmm.
You can't describe that. I don't know. It's very difficult to describe. Words fail us when we do this. So one experience which comes to my mind, remember, is that I think one of the Janmashtami, I think somewhere around 2005-6 that time around. And then, there's a very, very, very good practice for, used to get a lot of experience, a lot of chances boys used to get, students used to get, is that the Gokulam cows, the Sai Gita, and all the small beings, all animals, birds and all used to get to Swami, and Swami used to very lovingly feed them and give them fruits, give them banana, give them apples, all that. So it was such a nice and sweet
wonderful sight to watch.
And I don't know if there is a small newborns, he used to even feed milk also.
Yes.
with a small bottle.
Mm.
It was so sweet to watch all that. So this is, I remember one of those years, I think somewhere in the mid of 2000s, and they had got one small deer, which was just a newborn, probably few days old. And, you know, in their excitement to show it to Swami, the students and the local workers and all, they had got this small deer. But it was very, very jittery because, you know, it is first time it is so small. And otherwise also, you know, we had this Harinim, we had misdescribed, very agile. And very, very dynamic, if you see. Like, and little timid also, small it is. So, it was very difficult for it to suddenly come in front of a multitude
huge
crowd, and all the noise, you know, there will be bhajans going on one side, there will be Nadaswaram going on one side, there will be some Vedam going on one side, and there will be all these people,
Panchavadyam,
all that, it will be like commotion, commotion. Swami used to like Kolahala Priyanama, we used to call him. This is one Namam of Swami in the Sahasranamam of Swami. So that used to be the atmosphere.
Setting.
The setting was that, and then in that setting, suddenly you get one small newborn deer, and then offer it to Swami. Like it'll be so scared of everything, and so jittery of everything. So there were these boys who had got this deer were really lost what to do. How we'll offer it to him, and whether it'll run, it'll stay, or it'll jump over Swami and go. A lot of apprehension, a lot of trepidation they were having in this time. So then, what we saw was like amazing. Till when it was in the hands of these boys, it was vacillating, it was in a lot of disturbance. But when Swami told, okay, give it to me, and then when Swami took it into his hands, you know what, all the struggle, whatever you call it, all the struggle, all the disturbance, all the vacillation, everything just died. And they were like, as if, you know what, when you go not to your mother, you go to mother of mothers, you know, not even your, the type of peace and the type of security you feel, huh? The deer, the small deer was feeling all that. And then, you know, there's a very beautiful photo of that also. Like it's trying to, hide its face in Swami's lap, and not Swami's lap, Swami's shoulders, and Swami is holding it. And you know, this, I remember the look on Swami's face. No? The eyes were filled with compassion. Mm. Eyes were full with, you know, that water of joy or compassion, whatever you call it. So I think that I feel describes Ardram so beautifully in this aspect. And you know, one more thing which comes to my mind immediately, if I just think about it, is that Ardram is again, you know, it's the nature of mother, you know, to have the compassion or to have that concern for your children. And then, you know, who else than Swami understands the pain or the, you know, the concern of a mother?
Exactly.
Because he is nothing but mother of mothers. So one more experience I remember, with your permission I'll share that. This is even boy with us, like he had just passed out in early 2000s. His only desire was to stay here and serve Swami. And you know, he'll always sit and ask Swami for permission, but Swami will never give him any, Swami will never look at him also. Swami will not totally ignore him. He'll sit with letters. This went on for few months, but nothing was happening. And you know, it was, this boy was feeling very upset and very crestfallen that Swami is not even responding to me. He's not telling anything to me. My whole desire is to stay here and serve Swami, but he's not responding at all. So this went on for a few months, and then one fine day, I remember we were all sitting there, one fine day, Swami just comes, rushes towards him, like how a mother cow rushes towards the calf, just rushes towards him and says, give me a letter, and then says, take prasadam and go. He was like, he was shocked. Suddenly, after so many months, Swami has just come and asked for this, and he has told him to go. He didn't understand that time. Then we found out, and we understood the full story we got to know later is that that particular day his mother had come to Prashanthi Nilayam. She had sat in the devotees' lines in the ladies' side, and she had actually asked Swami, my prayer is, I want my son back to stay with me, to stay with us, and the tripti of having my son with me. Mm. I want that from you. That is my prayer, Swami. Is what she told. Mm. You know, we had Truptam also comes next. Mm. So her only prayer, her only lifelong prayer was that he has studied here. My prayer to you is, O mother of mothers, give my son back to me so that he stays with me and we feel the joy of being with my son. You know, Swami just came. You know, till those so many months, he was not even responding to this boy at all. That day, he immediately responded to his mother, came here and immediately responded to him and sent him back to stay with his parents. So there, you know, again, the compassion, only Swami can understand the heart of a mother. What a mother feels. Till now, he was thinking that why Swami is not responding. Swami was not responding because there is something else happening, which probably this boy didn't know. There was a pain in his mother's heart that, no, he should be back with me. The day she came and she expressed it to Swami with a letter, Swami immediately said, yes, you please go back and serve your parents. You know, Swami says serving your parents also is very important. So that's what I think. Ardram is where these aspects come so beautifully.
Actually, one beautiful aspect of Ardram is the quality of a divine mother. Is her vatsalyam.
Yes.
Vatsalya prema is compared to the love of a mother.
Yes.
So, when we see the padyam of Swami, avatarinchutayanutalo ardhamemi, means what is the significance of avatar being born on earth. Janulapai preeti vatsalya paratatoda.
Okay.
Means towards humanity, preeti is love or affection.
Affection.
Vatsalyam is nothing but the love of a mother.
See, vatsalyam doesn't have an English meaning. Yeah.
Because it's so natural in Sanskrit and Telugu.
Yeah.
Preeti vatsalya paratatoda, varisthayiki daivambu digivachu. Means the divine mother comes down to their level. Jeeva prajnato patuga daiva prajna. Means beautifully one of the elderly persons tells that, see, when a mother, when a child is crying, the mother, what does it do? The mother bends down and picks up the child and takes the child in her embrace.
Mm.
It does not mean that the level of mother has come down.
Yes.
In the same way, God, when He sees us crying, Koham, Koham in this world, He comes down to our level and picks us up from that level to the level of divinity, Soham.
Mm.
So, that is the compassionate mother that Swami is.
Yes.
I'm reminded of one beautiful poem again, written by Swami to Kasturi Garu in one of the, I think for New Year, Swami sends him a greeting card.
Mm.
The first sentence that Swami uses, Karunimpa nikante ghanudavvadani kada, ashrayinchitini ni padambujambulu. Means there is none other who is greater, who shows compassion than you.
Mm.
That is the reason why I have taken refuge in your feet.
This, who Kasturi Garu is telling?
Swami writes this poem to Kasturi Garu.
Swami is telling this.
This is in a greeting card.
Mm.
In, I think it was in the early 60s or 70s. Swami sends him a New Year card with this, with the Swami's photo on one side. And the other side, this poem. Karunimpa nikante ghanudavvadani kada. Ashrayinchitini ni padambujambulu.
Swami is telling the devotee.
Yes.
Swami is telling.
So, this is how you have to pray.
Mm-hmm.
And Swami gives the big poem. Maybe in the next class we can read out the entire poem.
And then probably tell the meaning
also. Yes. Because when we talk of Hiranyavarnam, Haranim, Suvarna, Shri, Shriyate Sarvaihi iti Shrihi we are talking about. Means taking refuge in whose feet is Mother Lakshmi. So the same feet Swami also has described so beautifully.
So nice, yeah. But you know, in this aspect again, when you talk about, we talk about calm, calm means nothing but the manifestation of Supreme Brahman, and then Ardram is the compassion. But if we try the same stunt, if you call it, what happens? I think you have a very sweet experience, very hilarious experience.
Hilarious experience. In this happened to one of our senior lecturers.
Yeah.
We cannot name that.
Yeah.
Swami regularly used to go to the cage that was right in front of the hostel building, which was in the old Vrindavan times and old Bangla times. And then Swami very regularly used to go inside, feed all the deer and then ducks and then pigeons.
Peacocks.
And it was all the Vrindavan students used to tell this as that was sight for gods to watch.
Mm.
Because God interacting with His creation and the creation responding to God's love.
Yeah.
That was the beautiful sight that all the students were like hooked up onto.
Okay.
And then once it so happened that Swami was not there in Vrindavan, and somebody had to feed the deer and the birds. And then one of these senior lecturers, he thought, yeah, this is an opportunity for me, so I can go and feed the animals. And then he entered the cage with the plate full of food items for them. As soon as he entered the cage, all the geese and all the pigeons and all the deer started attacking him.
Mm.
Means, it was a scary sight for everyone to watch.
Okay.
They scared him off and he just ran out of the cage and went and closed back the cage. Means, the feeling with which we enter is very, very important, because the love of thousand mothers, we can just see when the creation reacts to the Divine Mother.
Yes. You know, and one more thing. When you told this, the flow of love, the flow of compassion. Again, one more very sweet incident is that, you know, whenever in Parthi, in Puttaparthi, in Prashanthi Nilayam, whenever Chitravati flows, you know, it's a celebration. It's like a festival. You know, if you just go and see the villagers, see the local people, you go to the bridge, go anywhere, there'll be like hundreds of them breaking coconuts, giving incense to the mother Chitravati, and then, you know, offering flowers, offering turmeric, offering all sorts of things. So this is like, you know, and when, not only this, you know, the interesting part is, not only the people, even Swami used to feel so joyful about this.
Mm-hmm.
Because what I heard, one of our senior person, a devotee who works in the administrative building. He was telling me that, you know, whenever Chitravati used to flow, you know, the best point, if you take from Prashantralam, the best vantage point to have a beautiful view of Chitravati is the top of Adblock. Go to terrace of Adblock, yes. From there you can see. And it seems like a small child, someone used to get all these VIPs in his car, and he'll directly go to the top and say, you know, Chitravati is flowing. Come, we'll see. And not only that, even the officers and the other working staff who are in that block used to tell them, come. You know, Chitravati is flowing. We'll go and see. And you know, they'll all go up from the domes, that terrace, and from there he'll have a look at Chitravati majestically flowing through the Puttaparthi Valley. So you know, there also, like, Swami feels happy then that some, you know, water is life. Water is like, without water, nothing. And water also, in a way signifies, when the water flows, it signifies the flow of compassion. Yes. You know, when the Chitravati flows, it shows, you know, when the childlike enthusiasm, the childlike joy in Swami's face, and getting, whoever comes, who is a VIP, getting them and telling, see, come to my adblock, come to my university building, and from there I'll show you how the Chitravati majestically flows. So sweet, is it?
Yes.
You know, to see that Swami himself feels so happy that Chitravati is flowing and all whole creation in Puttaparthi is joyous.
Actually, when we are talking about, I'm just reminded of a very nice incident where we are talking about the love of 1,000 mothers. Only that mother alone knows the struggle and the compassion and the love of a physical mother.
Yes.
It once happened that one of our senior devotees, Sri Prakash Rao Garu, he had written a beautiful song on Sai Mata. Sai ani kammani pilipe, ammanu talapuku techindi. Means thinking about Swami, you are reminded of your mother.
Okay.
Sai ani tiyani pilipe, ammanu maripinchindi. That was the line that he had written. So, ammanu maripinchindi. Means when you think of Swami, it will make you forget your mother also. When Swami heard the song for the first time from the students, Swami told the boys to stop. He told, sing it once again. Sai ani kammanu pilipe, ammanu talapuku techindi. Sai ani tiyani pilipe, ammanu muripinchindi, Swami told.
Oh, beautiful.
He changed from maripinchindi, which means that it makes you forget. To muripinchindi. Thinking about Swami, even your mother will feel happy. So, that is the beautiful love of Swami. I think talking about Swami's smile, talking about Swami's compassion,
and what Swami is, I think
time just flies. I think we are running out of time today.
So, we'll probably do Hiranya Prakaram, Jalantim, Truptam, Tarpayantim, and Padma again. You know, Padma, lotus is in so much of significance in, you know, Swami and Swami's institutions around. So, we'll take it up next time.
So, we do request the listeners to please write their feedback and also share their ideas and thoughts to listener@ssmediacenter.org or WhatsApp it to 9393258258. So, with a prayer that every thought, word and deed is his inspiration, we shall conclude today's class with the Kshama Prarthana Mantra.
Yadakshara pada bhrashtam matra heenam tu yad bhavet tat sarvam kshamyatam deva narayana namostute visarga bindu matrani pada padaksharani cha nyunani cha tiriktani kshamasvasaishvara apadara sahasrani kriyante harnishanmaya dasoyam iti mamatva kshamasvasaishvara anyatha sharanam nasti tumeva sharanam mama tasmat karunya bhavena raksha raksha saishvara harihi om tat sat sri saishvara arpana. Namastu.
From a few moments from now, you will be listening to the live Telugu segment Shri Satya Sai Divya Sandesh Chari. Stay tuned to Asia Stream. Sai Ram and happy listening.